The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Good morning, I'm Elliot Danker. Our top story this morning is the National People's Congress in China that's set to start in just a couple of hours. It is China's largest political event of the year, and this is a meeting of legislative delegates and political advisors known as the Two Sessions. The annual meeting is nicknamed the Two Sessions because both the NPC and the CPCC meets. The National People's Congress has nearly 3,000 members. It's a legislative body, like I mentioned, and it's often described as a rubber stamping parliament whose function is mainly ceremonial. The Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference is an advisory body. Now, thousands of delegates will be at the Great Hall of the People in Beijing for 2 weeks of meetings. NPC delegates will ratify legislation, personnel changes, and of course the government budget, all of which have been largely approved beforehand. Now, delegates include not only government officials, but also business executives and celebrities like the likes of Tencent founder Pony Ma, actor Jackie Chan, and the former NBA player Yao Ming. On the line to help give us an NPC preview is Tommy Xie, economist and head of Greater China Research at OCBC Bank. Tommy, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
You track this event very closely every year. Last year, lawmakers made it possible for Chinese President Xi Jinping to rule for life. This year, they're saying that, you know, this could be one of the most challenging periods for him. Could you give us a sense of how big a deal this NPC is and how's it going to be different compared to last year?
Sure. I mean, the NPC is always an important event for China. So it's a bit like what Singapore, the budget, right? Because usually Singapore budget has set all the key numbers, you know, the government expenditure for the society for this year and what could be the support to the society, to the elderly. You know, in China, same story. I think the NPC, we have the similar target for all the government key figures, you know, what's the plan to drive China for the longer term sustainable growth. That's why the budget is always very important. But of course, for this year, it's particular, you know, interesting because we have a very interesting timing, right? We have the slowdown in China, plus we have the uncertainty in the global economy, plus the still ongoing the U.S.-China trade talk and the trade war. So that's why I think Chinese government also facing a lot of challenges, a lot of parameters they want to adjust, you know, eventually how to ensure China can grow at a reasonable pace and how to ensure the people's living standard to improve from here, how to ensure to make the citizen happy. I think that's always important for China's NPC.
You mentioned China's slowing economy. Just last week, we had manufacturing PMIs showing the sector contracting for the third straight month. Let's talk a little bit about the state of the economy. What are we expecting on this front from NPC?
Sure. I think most likely we should expect the slower growth target for China because usually before the national NPC, we have the NPC at the local level, that's all the provisional levels. So if you look at the local NPC, it's very clear there's kind of consensus from the provisional government that the growth will slow down. That's why 23 out of 31 provinces in China have already downgraded their growth target. So it's most likely we should see the lower growth target on the national level as well. That's why I think most likely it's like a 6 to 6.5% range. It's reasonable for China. But there's one constraint here is that if you can remember, you know, in the past, China has already set another target. They want to double the GDP by 2020 from the 2010 levels.
Yeah.
So we are still on the way. We still have roughly about 2 years to achieve that target, right? So in order to achieve that target, you roughly still need about 6.2% growth for next 2 years. So that becomes the constraint to China. That's why I think you can downgrade the growth target, but you cannot let the growth to slow too much. Otherwise, you might potentially miss the double GDP target by 2020. So that's become the constraint right now for China.
And this will definitely be highlighted in President Xi Jinping's 40-page sort of work report that they've downgraded this GDP target. We're speaking with Tommy Xie, economist and head of Greater China Research at OCBC Bank. He's helping us with a China National People's Congress preview. Tommy, there are reports we might see tax cuts to help boost their manufacturing sector. Will we see the value-added tax cut by 3 percentage points? That's a possibility, but for you, what are your expectations?
Yeah, I think it's definitely important because last year China, okay, in last year's MPC, China announced the target of the total tax cut and the reduction of the admin fees, roughly about 1.1 trillion. But eventually, we saw roughly about 1.3 trillion cut in 2018, which was higher than the expectation. I think for this year, actually, people even expect the bigger cut, so it should be more than 1.3. So, of course, one of the key focuses is really on the manufacturing sector because, as we know, manufacturing sector was one of the key victims of the trade war, plus the rising cost in China, the shift of the global value chain, you know, kind of things. That's why I think manufacturing sector is still very important for China. So talking about this VAT cut, I think initially market expect like 2 to 3% VAT cut from 16% to maybe around 13. So right now, as we saw from the news yesterday, I think most likely China may announce 3%. So that will roughly translate to about 600 billion tax cut. So I think that should be one of the big deals for China. But of course, we should still expect more cuts from other angles as well for 2019. So most likely, we should expect the higher package of tax cut for 2019 to support the growth to help China weather the storm.
Okay. Well, when it comes to weathering storm, weathering a slowing economy, there's always the opportunity to look for new directions of growth. And one of the big things is the technology front. We've been hearing a lot about 5G, AI, yes. Internet of Things. 5G is bit of a problematic issue. But I'd like to get your thoughts on this, Tommy. Rumors about introducing a stock market exchange board that's similar to NASDAQ so that they can encourage more technology and innovation. What are you hearing about this and is it something that's feasible?
Okay, I think, first of all, I think there's a board is coming which is called the Science and the Innovation Board. So that's it's important, for two reasons. I mean, the first, it's really, as you mentioned, it's really to support the development of the technology in China because, that could be the new potential growth driver in the future. I mean, the second important part is also the testbed for the reform of the capital market in China because, as we know, the China's capital market is a little bit, lagging behind as compared to the advanced economies. So if you want to go list in China, it's very troublesome. You need to wait, to queue to get approval. So for this new board, actually, they're going to try something we call the registration-based. So probably you can just skip those kind of the very troublesome process. So that could be the very good trial for China based on this registration base. But of course, by doing that, you need a very strong capability of the investment banking, right? How you price this company, how you do the research on this company. So that could be another challenge part for China. But again, I think China is moving towards that direction to let the capital market play a big role because eventually China still wants to support the real economy, the finance, to address the financing concern. So the capital market, the equity financing is one of the way to addressing the concern, especially from the private-owned economies. So most of the technology company we saw, it's kind of the private-owned economy. So that's really the key focus right now for China. Yeah.
Actually, just to elaborate a little bit further on that one, talking about how China could potentially open its markets, how much do you think they will open its markets, especially with regard to the financial sector? I mean, in the background, there's still this ongoing U.S.-China trade dispute.
Yes. I think to some extent, this trade war actually play a positive role to actually force China expedite the opening, right? I mean, that's a fact. So I think China should be quite okay to further open the financial markets. They have already announced kind of the measures. So for example, they removed the cap for the foreign ownership in banks. Last time it used to be like 20%. Now technically you can increase your ownership to more than 20%. Then of course now there's another important topic is regarding the setup of the security companies, the brokers in China. So we start to see a lot of foreign investors, foreign banks have interest to set up their own brokers in China. So that's a lot of way we are seeing for China to open. And also this MPC, we might see the parliament to approve the new foreign investment law.
Okay.
So that will actually improve the market accessibility for a lot of investors as well. I think that should be something we can watch out for the next 2 weeks.
I'm speaking with Tommy Xie, economist and head of Greater China Research at OCBC Bank. Tommy, of course, National People's Congress usually starts with 90-minute speech by Premier Li Keqiang. And that starts at the beginning of the trading day. What else do you think will investors be looking out for in terms of what to expect from President Xi's speech?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the speech was from the Premier League. I think, basically, I think for the market, there's a couple of things they will look at. I mean, especially if you are the bond traders, I think what's important is really the fiscal position for China. Same as the Singapore budget, right? People look at the, you know, the deficit, what's the fiscal reserve potentially. So I think for China, same story. People will look at the, oh, what's the fiscal deficit target? I think right now the consensus is about 2.8%, which is slightly higher than last year's target, but actually it's lower than the, what people initially expected. So other than the fiscal deficit target, I think people also will try to see, you know, how much China want to issue this year for the special local government bond, and what's the potential issuance for the total you know, central government bond. So that could be the important numbers, especially for the bond traders. And then, of course, whether China is going to announce any, you know, interesting, you know, potential measures for the tax cuts or administrative measures. So I think that could be the, also to boost the sentiment in the equity market. So I think eventually, I think what people are waiting for is really the commitment from China to further reform. So that's the most important element, in my view, to support the sentiment in China right now.
Tommy, thank you so much for your time this morning. Tommy Hsieh, economist and head of Greater China Research at OCBC Bank. Tommy, thanks again.
Thank you very much. Cheers. Bye-bye.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.